Hello and welcome to Focus on Business. I'm your host, Lee Strickland. On today's program, we are celebrating National Business Women's Week. And we're going to give you a few little statistics and talk about how National Business Women's Week has come about and the organization that supports it. And the first statistic I want to give you today is that here in 2013, there are over 8.6 million women-owned businesses in the country. They generate revenues of $1.3 trillion every year, and they employ 7.8 million people. So we're making great strides, but yet we still have a long way to go as business owners and as women in the professional fields. So today we have a panel of guests to talk about different issues that we as women confront as business owners, as community leaders, and as professionals in our fields. I have with me today in the studio Leanne Burst of Sled Dog Marketing. Leanne is engaged in sponsorship marketing and maximizing our return as sponsors. And she's also a filmmaker. She's been doing some documentaries. And she's heavily involved with the Business and Professional Women's Group, which she's going to tell you a little bit about in a little bit, and a little bit about National Business Women's Week. Now, Sled Dog Marketing is something I want Leanne to talk about, too, in a few moments. So I'm going to give everybody an opportunity to do that. And first of all, I want to give you her website while we're in the process. You can go to www.sleddog.com, and that's two D's and two G's in that. So www.sleddog.com. Our second guest is Micah Parekh. And she owns, with her husband, IWP Photography. And IWP Photography is one of the operating companies of Tesh's Fine Art and Photography, LLC. They're based out of Raleigh, North Carolina. And what's exciting about what Tesh and Micah do in their business is that they have a lot of different creative offerings for those of us who need photography at our events and our weddings, and they also do live art. And I'm going to have Micah tell you about that shortly. And Micah's website is www.iwpphotography.com, and you'll hear about IWP Photography during the course of the show too, because they are an underwriter of Focus on Business, and we thank Micah and Tesh for being in support of the show. And our final guest today represents the professional segment of Women in Business and the 20-somethings. It's Lauren Campbell. And Lauren is a native of North Carolina. She grew up in Greensboro, and she has started her career now with the De Leon Law Firm, and that she's also based in Raleigh. And I'm going to let her tell you a little bit about herself and her career, just as I'll let Leanne and Micah tell you about their companies and their careers. Now, ladies, let's just kind of set this up. And I'm going to let Leanne take the little lead in this and tell us about National Business Women's Week and what it's about and what we're involved in.
Thank you, Lee. National Business Women's Week has been around since 1928. It started with an organization called Business and Professional Women's Organization, which happens to be the oldest and longest running working women's advocacy group. This organization started during 1917, actually, during World War I, when the United States government came forward and said, let's find out how women can contribute to our economy. What can they do to help us out? And the organization started formally in 1919, but somewhere in 1928, the organization said, well, we've done a survey. We see that we contribute to the national economy as working women. Let's try and honor that. Let's celebrate that every year, and now they call that National Business Women's Week.
So do you have some statistics about what businesses are like and what's going on with women in business today?
I didn't bring any numbers with me today, okay. Lee. But what I do know is we have wonderful forward momentum going on right now. We have a long ways to go when it comes to equal pay, when it comes to the health care reform, And we're not going to be here talking about that today, but
that's a future show.
It sure is. But it's important for us to note that BPW, this organization, celebrates women for the whole week who have gone after their dreams, succeeded in their own way, succeeded in their career and the profession. And we award one woman in each community and in each state the title of Career Woman of the Year. So when we do that, we recognize and highlight the progress of women in the workforce. And we also recognize employers who support families in the workplace.
You're doing that for the Raleigh chapter this evening?
Yeah, we sure are.
Okay, so if everybody wants to know a little bit about that, they could go to the BPW Raleigh chapter site.
Sure. It's www.bpwraleigh.org.
All right, that's great. So thank you for giving us that little overview of National Business Women's Week. And so let's kind of get talking. Let's talk about our career paths, how we've come here, and just what's going on with your organizations, your business, and what some of the challenges are. So Lauren, I'm going to let you start us out on this.
Sure. Thank you, Lee. Wanted to talk a few things through. Thank you. I am a young professional woman and just starting out my career, but in doing so, I have come across many other inspiring women, and that's one of the things that I have found to be most helpful is teaming up with other women in the profession, whether it be through a mentorship role or even just networking with other women. I do a lot of networking as part of my role as an attorney with the firm because we are a smaller firm. And it's like night and day when you're networking with men and when you're networking with women.
Tell us one thing that makes that stands out in your mind that makes the difference.
I would say the main thing is with women, it's much more a holistic view of a person rather than, hi, my name's Lauren, I'm an attorney with the De Leon Law Group, and we practice in business transactional law. It's, hi, my name's Lauren, I'm from a family from Greensboro, I have three older brothers, my mom was a go-getter, she told me I could do anything I wanted, and I became an attorney.
We share our stories and not just our professions or
Absolutely.
Our career titles.
Absolutely. And that, the support that is there with women is phenomenal. Absolutely.
Micah, you've been doing business networking and referrals and all of that stuff for years, and you do it now for your own company. And kind of share some of the stories of that and share how you came to be in the business of photography.
Well, I would say that any person that wants to actually grow their business is going to have to network in public one or more times. I think people really want to be able to do business with people that they know, like, and trust. I've been a believer of that for years, even more so before it came to be that popular statement that everybody likes to make. Networking would not have built the business that I've started. It would not have, without networking, it would not have helped in any of the jobs that I've ever had. I think I've been networking since I was in Girl Scouts a long time ago. And so with growing the company that I started 5 years this December, it was critical that people not only knew that I had started a new venture, but also why I was doing it and where I wanted to go with it. So when my husband decided that he was no longer wanting to be an engineer and wanted to follow his heart, we found ourselves, me home with a baby and he home with a pink slip very quickly after our son came along, which we weren't expecting. And so we had to turn that around very quickly and figure out what we were going to do. And that was in December of 2008. And so right then and there, I called upon my network and I said, look, guys, things have to change and things have to change today. And I guess I'm starting a new company. So networking has changed my life and more opportunities in ways than I could ever imagine. and I'm the raving fan of networking.
Mm-hmm. Leanne, I know we've networked a lot, and I've networked with Lauren and Micah. What's the one thing that you think gives the women networking so much power and so much momentum?
Sounds like a trick question with me, because when I think about networking, when I walk into the room, I have to empower myself to do that. Mm-hmm. When I walk into a room, a lot of people think that I'm used to it, I'm comfortable, and not everybody is. And I'm a marketer, and you would think that's all I live for, and it's not. Mm-hmm. I actually have to drink that extra bit of water before I walk in the room and make sure I have that throat lozenger, because my mouth goes dry. And I walk in and I have to channel somebody. There's one person in my mind right now, her name is Jan, and I walk into the room and I have a smile on my face and I say, okay, I'm Jan right now, and I have to approach somebody. And I actually teach people how to network, and I'm evidence for how hard it is. So when I walk in the room, I make sure I reach out my hand and I make sure that I focus on listening to the other person and make it all about them. Because it isn't about me. Ultimately, it will be if I do it right, but it's about them. So I shake their hand and I make sure that I listen to what they have to say. And then with grace, I go to the next person. When I leave for the day, I wonder, and I have those self-doubts, and that's another female thing that we have to overcome. But I walk out saying, did I do that right? Did I spend enough time with that person? Did I, because with women, we're always concerned over other people's feelings as a whole.
We have more of an emotional component in how we relate. But I think when we go out networking, I think of it as three things. We have to be secure in who we are. We have to be able to develop trust and have an open dialogue to start a relationship. We have to have great timing, recognizing who we're going to talk to and how we're going to slip away to the next person. I know when I go into a room, when I first started 11 years ago with the business now, that was something that was kind of uncomfortable. Like you're saying, you walk in and it's like, okay, what am I going to say? Who am I going to meet? And I started targeting what I call the wallflowers. Mm-hmm. Everybody else that you could tell was uncomfortable. And so if I could make them comfortable and start introducing them around, that helped me overcome that little bit of dry mouth and sweaty palms and mm-hmm. you wiping them on your pants and that kind of thing.
And I feel that that's the trick of to figure out what it is that makes you calm down and become comfortable. With me, it's comedy, a sense of humor. I usually walk up to the table and or around a group of people who are talking, and I look at who's the friendliest person to walk up to, and I ask, is this the fun group? And that totally relaxes everybody there, and I'm welcomed. Or if I'm sitting at a table and Lee, you're walking by, and I want Lee to sit at my table, I'll say, Lee, this is the fun table.
Right.
It works every time.
Now, Micah, I know you're out there in formal networking groups, and we've connected numerous times over the course of our careers in different roles. We've known each other over 11 years now.
It's hard to believe.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, and we kind of ebb and flow with who's in our groups and how do we connect and reconnect. How do you keep those lines open for people that you don't see on a weekly basis or even a quarterly basis? When you need something, when you want to introduce somebody to it, how do you reach out and do that?
I think it's important to have the understanding that there should be no expectations going into starting the relationship, as far as, well, I need this person to grow my business, I need this person to do this for me. And I think once you are able to let those expectations go, your walls come down and people begin to relate to you in a different way than you could have ever expected. And when that happens, there are going to be people that you immediately bond with, but there are going to be people that you're only going to see once every 3 weeks or once every 2 months. But if you build a rapport with those people, they're still going to remember you, remember your name. And it's something that you begin to practice and you begin to perfect in knowing that you can't possibly know everyone in the world and keep in business and in touch with those people on a daily basis. And I think if you're working with the right crowd, everybody's kind of on the same page with that, and the pressure goes down, and it's easier to create those lasting connections.
Well, let's call it the proper care and feeding of our contacts, right?
I like it.
Mm-hmm. So one of my rules is always to give first to the other person. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it bites you when you don't know the other person well enough. And I'll use this example. A few years ago, someone moved new to the area and asked to have lunch. And he asked for some contacts, and I gave him some contacts. And I said, so I understand you relocated here and you have contacts in there. He goes, yes, but I don't know you well enough to give you any contacts. And that's just a kind of thing that it's style differences, it's whatever. And so I think as women, we trust faster and are more open than a lot of people that we encounter. And that can create opportunities, and it can also create obstacles for us. So if you could think of one person that's challenged you in the course of building your business or your career, no names, please, but kind of think of what you've had to deal with that person putting an obstacle or a challenge before you, and how are you facing it right now? Lauren?
Well, I have actually a no-name gentleman that pops into my mind right away. I did not get his name because I was at a networking event and he did not give me the time of day because he saw a young female rather than a professional. And that moment pops into my mind every time I go to a networking event as something that I might encounter again, but at the same time, that's not the type of person I want to be networking with anyway.
Absolutely.
But it was just a simple, quick interaction where I introduced myself and explained, I'm an attorney with the De Leon Law Group, and who are you and what do you do? Because we were literally standing in line next to one another. And I got the look up and down and the look away. And it was just, it blew me away. I had never encountered such gall and such rudeness, to be quite frank. So that was sort of shocking. And it is something that I'm very conscious of out networking, is I am a young female in a man's profession. So presenting myself in the proper manner, I don't typically wear a lot of makeup or my hair down. It's silly, but it's something I think about. And I'll answer the phone when it rings in a lower voice rather than happy and chipper. And it's just small little things in my day-to-day that I try to incorporate. And I'm sure in time that will become less and less of a concern for me. But at this point in my career, it is something I'm very, very conscious of.
Well, it presents challenges to us when we're out there. Mm-hmm. And Leanne, I know you travel and do things in international marketplaces. So how different is it for you being a woman in a foreign country doing business or advising a firm versus being local or even national here?
Well, for me, it depends on the culture. What I have found globally, I'm respected everywhere I go. And as long as I hold myself in a respectful way that I respect myself. But depending on the culture, I may need to take that in consideration about where I sit at the table, how I shake the hand. I'm very big into a nice, firm handshake, but I don't get that all the time. The gifts, I sometimes receive a gift from the host that I would deem inappropriate. But to go back to what Lauren was saying, I also feel that this is generational. Mm-hmm. So I could give you many examples in my 20s and my 30s where I could tell you where I walked in the room and I was uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know if I was dressed appropriately because of the way I was looked at and I wanted to be taken seriously. But I'm older now. And when I walk in the room, I think it's different because I've just totally blocked it away. Mm-hmm. So and it sounds like everybody agrees with that, right? You as you get older, you're more confident, you're more secure, but you also don't care.
Right, you don't adapt as much to counter. Like Lauren, you're saying you change your voice. You do. Right. You don't wear your hair down. And at some point, you just say, okay, there are going to be people out there that do that to us. And it's not always just the men. Mm-hmm. I know when I started my business 11 years ago that I called them the iron fists and the velvet gloves down here in the South, because they kind of resented if you were coming up fast and you weren't having as big a struggles as they did in the 60s and the 70s, and where you would have thought women would have been lifting us up or celebrating success and how far we'd come. They would actually kind of throw out stumbling blocks out there. And I remember you were talking about the gentleman snubbing you. I attended a women's group, and for 2 years I was invisible in that group until suddenly I was, you know, doing book speaking engagements and stuff like that, and suddenly people came up to me and was like, oh, it's so lovely to meet you. And I said, you know, you've been meeting me every month for the past 2 years. Sorry, I don't play that game, right? And so at that point, you start realizing you push back, mm-hmm. you demand respect, and mm-hmm. you adapt less, like you were saying, Leanne. You own who you are. If you have long hair, if you like makeup, mm-hmm. you like flashy jewelry. Mm-hmm. But we will always, I think, have to be conscious of how we dress. Mm-hmm. I was at an event last week, and I know retro clothing is in style, and the lady looked lovely, but she looked more like a go-go dancer ready to perform, you know, in one of the clubs in the 70s, and everybody just, when she walked by, everybody just went, you know, and the men are like, you know, what we used to call elevator eyes, mm-hmm. looking you up and down. And so we have to be careful that as women, we have some latitude as business owners. We don't have anybody telling us how to dress. But what we put out there as women is representing all women when mm-hmm. I walk out there, and being sure that we're appropriately dressed, not just what's in style and fashion forward, but what's appropriate to the venue where we go in.
So many eyes are on us today, watching us, whether it be little ones, whether it be young female adults, whether it be women who have retired but yet still want to keep their thumb on what's happening in their world. And we need to take control and have respect for ourselves first, and then the respect for everything else will come later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's back in my corporate career, I started manufacturing when women were still a rarity on the floor. And I can remember walking through the manufacturing plant feeling like I was a zoo exhibit, mm-hmm. Because everybody was turning, and out of 3,000 and some employees, there were only 300 women in the entire location. And my first big meeting coming up into corporate, I was holding the checkbook for a program, and I was finance. And I remember one of the gentlemen telling me to sit down, honey, sit down and be quiet. And I said, well, honey's got the checkbook, and I'm not your honey, I'm not your babe, I'm not your darling, I'm not your sweetheart. I'll tell you if you have money to spend. And the ripple effect, the 45 minutes it took me to drive back to my office, everyone in the company, I swear, was talking about that. And my bosses were lined up to talk to me about it. I said, you know, I could file an EEOC claim for discrimination, or I could set him straight. I set him straight. And so after that, people would watch. And sometimes we have to draw pretty harsh lines in the sand as to what we're going to take, and we're going to take that stand. But there, I almost see with the, I'm going to say the 20-somethings and the 30-somethings, that at times they're almost like the 60 and 70 somethings, because there's almost less respect being built in the 20s and 30 somethings for women. I think it's the music. I think it's the culture. Mm-hmm. I think it's the dress. Mm-hmm. There's a whole lot of things. Yeah, the dynamics out there. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about how we chose to go into our fields, our professions. And for the two of you that own your own business, how did you make that decision? Mike has told me a little bit about it, right, mm-hmm. just a little bit earlier. But Leanne, can you kind of set us up why you started Sled Dog Marketing and all that?
Sure. I actually worked in corporate. I worked at IBM. I was a global brand manager there. And I was doing very well. I had no reason to leave. It was a great company, great job, but there was something inside of me that was so entrepreneurial, and it was itching, and it had to come out. I had no control over it. I ended up quitting my job, buying a conversion van, and driving around the United States to figure out who I was, because this thing was itching. I had to figure it out, and I needed silence for that. Less than a year later, I started my company. I knew I was really good at what I do. I'm very good at it. And I knew that I wanted to help other companies to figure out how to approach a market. So I started the company, and that's where the name Sled Dog came from. When you work outside of a big corporate environment, IBM might be a bit slow when it comes to bringing a product to market. But when you work with a smaller company, you don't have that leisure of time. So Sled Dog was, you know, when you need to move into a new direction, I'm there to pull you there. And I was watching the Iditarod on TV. And I was on the phone with my dad, and I said, that's going to be the name of my company, because that's how I feel at the end of a gig each time. And that's how I came up with the name. So I've been doing this since 2002.
Wow. Same year I started mine. So, wow. Lauren, tell us how you picked becoming an attorney.
Well, it was quite a long journey, as one might expect. I don't have any attorneys in the family. I just have a very supportive family. And a mother that, like I said earlier, always encouraged me and made sure that no one ever told me I was just a girl. And that was drilled into me at a very young age, and she created a monster. I have been blessed my entire life with wonderful teachers, wonderful, wonderful teachers. And in high school, I had a teacher, Mr. Ray Parrish, and I was part of a class that debated the Constitution, or the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. And that was really my first exposure at all to any type of legal world whatsoever. And I loved it. It was amazing. And just debating the present day implications of the Constitution and how this document that was written hundreds of years ago is still in everything we say and do. Radio, freedom of speech, here we go. That was wonderful. I went away to undergrad, and I was a business management and theater performance major at UNCW, and go Seahawks. And theater was always a passion of mine, but I realized very quickly that one of my main stumbling blocks in the theater world was my need for stability in my life. Those two things don't really go very well together. I came back around to the lovely legal world that was always something in the back of my mind, but I think not having any attorneys in the family kind of made me discount it for a little while. But then I kept
that
coming back.
That little voice.
Absolutely. It wasn't an entrepreneurial voice, but it was, well, why not? There are so many people that do it every day, and I can study just as hard as the rest of them. I'm not the smartest cookie out there in the world, but I am one of the hardest working. So let's do it. And set my mind to it, took the LSAT, got into Campbell University, and gosh, 5 years later, here I am. I met my senior partner, Mr. Ralph DeLeon. He was an adjunct at Campbell, and had several classes with him and just really enjoyed the business transactional side of things because I had the business management background, really identified with entrepreneurs, small business owners, that they're so passionate about what they do and helping them protect themselves and move along. It's just been great. It's been wonderful.
Now, Micah, we heard about how you started the business, but how did you get into photography and learn that skill set?
Well, Tesh has been an artist since he was 3 years old, and he is from India originally, and his mother would barter her accounting services to one of her clients for his art supplies and would give him anything, grab bag kind of stuff. He never knew what he was going to get, but anything art went to Tesh, even though there were two other kids, because he would draw with pencils, chalk, he would paint, you name it. He was able to really dabble in all of it. And like you, Lauren, he knew that it was something that he wanted to do, but it was not something he was going to be able to do professionally. The theater is what I'm referencing to. And he had three choices: engineering, law, or medical. That was it. And his family was pretty tight about that. And so he became an engineer and came to the United States. And the first thing that he purchased when he got here was a camera and an easel. And he would go and he would paint. He would take photographs of what he was painting, and then he would paint those paintings. And when we met in 2000, I started sharing his artwork with my friends, and they would notice the artwork, but they would also notice the photography and how sharp and clear it was. And that literally turned into a side business for us of him going out and doing wedding photography. So we had done that for 8 years on the side, you know, just
so Tesh taught you the art of photography.
He did. He did very slowly. And I don't find myself as an artist. So it was something that was unfamiliar ground for me completely. So he taught me. I took the 7-year program. Thank God I didn't have to pay for it. And he turned me loose in 2011 to start doing my own, 2010 to start doing my own events. And that's when we kind of blossomed into corporate photography and video and all of the other neat things we do.
Well, thank you, ladies. We're going to go to a break right now. And you're going to be listening to I'm Every Woman with Chaka Khan. And enjoy the song.
From A to Z. Oh, 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 oh.
WCOM-FM is proud to support Make-A-Wish of Eastern North Carolina. You can support Make-A-Wish of Eastern North Carolina by volunteering your time, donating a one-time gift, a recurring gift, or through workplace giving. You can also participate in fundraising events. For more information about Make-A-Wish of Eastern North Carolina, visit their website at www.eastnc.wish.org or call 1-800-432-WISH. That's 1-800-432-9474. And WCOM and Focus on Business are also proud to support the Ronald McDonald House of Durham. I attended a fundraising event there this morning called One Small Year, and it tells the story of various children and their families who have been helped by the Ronald McDonald House of Durham and other Ronald McDonald houses around our area. The stories were compelling and make a significant impact. Christopher and Michael are brothers. They're 18 and 13, and they have a rare genetic disease related to mitochondria. And so every day is a struggle for them. And Christopher just had his 63rd operation yesterday. So when you're thinking about providing support to the community, think of the children and think of Ronald McDonald House and their families that they support. You can give generously with a one-year, one-time a gift, or commit to up to 3 years. You can sponsor a long-term transplant suite and in a hospital family room or any other way you want to support. We just ask that you give to the Ronald McDonald House of Durham or a Ronald McDonald House in your area. So go to www.ronaldhousedurham.org and we'll be right back with more of our show. Because it only serves to make me more determined to achieve my final goal. And I come back even stronger. And we're back, and we're talking with Leanne Burst of Sled Dog Marketing, Micah Kurek and of IWP Photography, and Lauren Campbell, of the De Leon Law Group. I'm having a brain freeze for the moment there. Sorry about that, Lauren.
Okay.
So before the break, we were talking about our experiences getting into our professions. If you had to say one thing that's played a major role in your professional success and your business success, what would that one thing be, Leanne?
I think the being brave and driven. I think that, you know, when I started my career out of college back in the 80s, I had to be driven and brave. I had actually a child by myself. Who's here in the studio, and she's 20, she'll be 28. So this was quite a while ago, and I was determined. And as time went on, and I ended up working with larger corporations, and as Lauren has said, you know, working with a lot of men, I worked in IT, and there weren't a lot of women in IT at the time, and I had to be brave. Be excited to get up out of bed every day and go do what I did and not let things set me back. And then to go out and venture and get into the entrepreneurial world was the scariest thing for somebody in corporate to venture into. Even though I had that voice and that itch to do that, I had to be brave.
Lauren?
Well, I would say something along the same lines, the drive. It has to be there. It is tough going to a networking event every morning and three, four times a week after work and it's exhausting. But if you have that passion and that drive, I will say that makes the world a difference. And it's got to be coming back to my mom and the
no limits.
The no limits. Be fearless. You can do anything you want to do, and just go do it. Put in the work and do it.
Micah?
I wish there was a book that had all of the rules and all of the things that I needed to do on a daily basis to be a success, but there was no book. So I had to decide, what was I going to do at that point? For me, it was a matter of life and living. And so I took the opportunity as it was in my face and ran with it. And it didn't matter who was there to block my way or help my way. It was something that I had to do. And I grew so much and have grown so much in the past 5 years running this small business and building it and working with my husband day in and day out, 24 hours a day, and learning more about him than I knew in the almost 10 years I knew before that. And it has just been an incredible journey. And I think if you're open to those kinds of things, I think your life can change, and it doesn't matter, you know, who, what, when, where, or why. It's going to be a success for you.
How about one thing that you wish someone had told you that you had to learn on your own and that you would share with other women starting a business, Micah? What was in that rule book you wish you knew?
It's harder to work for yourself than it is for anybody else. And you may think when you're working for somebody else, oh yeah, well, if I was the owner of this place, I'd do it this way. Well, now you are, and you're finding out that it's not so easy. And you have to sometimes swallow your pride, and you have to do things that maybe you've seen somebody else do and you didn't understand, and you thought that what they were doing was crazy, and now you're in it to win it, and it doesn't seem so crazy anymore.
Mm-hmm. Lauren?
Well, I'm still at the phase in my career that I'm asking this question of others out and about quite frequently. And
ask us, what's the question?
What do I need to know? What do I need to know as a young professional woman starting out in this career? If I have several mentors, and one of the things that I heard recently that has really stuck with me is, be true to yourself. And regardless, because there will be times when someone asks you to do something you don't think is right or goes against your values, you have to, at the end of the day, be able to look yourself in the mirror and stay true to yourself, stay true to your values. And thankfully, I've got a very good family behind me, and so I feel like I have a good foundation there. But that is tough, because you are out there trying to make it work, and there are going to be times that those two things are going to come into conflict.
Mm-hmm. Leanne?
The number one thing that I learned early on, and I wish I could have learned it when I was still in school, in high school, was not to take things too personally. Mm-hmm. The number one problem for me is I'm so sensitive. A lot of women are. And you have to take it in context. So if I'm talking to somebody and they snap back at me, I cannot assume right away that they're snapping at me. There's something going on with them, and I have to just let it go down my back and realize what's really going on. I don't need to know what's going on with them, but just don't take it too personally. And when I communicate with somebody and they take it too personally, I have to put myself in their shoes and say, okay, they didn't know that when I was writing that email that I had somebody wanting me to give them something right away, and I was just trying to answer the question quickly, and so my email didn't come across right. So I have to step back, don't take things too personally, and be empathetic with the person who's receiving something from me.
For the young girl in the room, that's a good mm-hmm. rule for life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, always think twice before you hit the send button. Mm-hmm. Sure. That's what the draft mode is for. I remember starting out, and like Lauren, I had a family that didn't make a difference to being a daughter versus being a son. So I was kind of shocked when I got out in the business world. My first experience in the business world was working for my dad's best friend. And, of course, that was kind of a safe environment. And you know, I could say just about anything. He'd known me since before I was born. But getting in, going to a bank, and this will age me, but I remember wearing red to work one day and my boss calling me in to tell me women couldn't wear red. It was a power color. And the bank had one female vice president. And I walked down to her office and I said, Alice, and I knew she had a red blazer, she wore a lot. I said, did you know women couldn't wear red? And she's like, what? And she says, really? And so next day, I was, of course, wearing red. That's just my personality. And every woman in the bank was wearing red. And my boss called me into his office, and he said, Lee, you're wearing red. I said, it's the only outfit I had ready for the day. And it was red. It was a red skirt, red shoes, red belt, and this red. So I said, okay. I said, well, Jim, how about this? Can I wear pants? Because, you know, the dress code. He said, yes, of course. It's like, can I wear turquoise? Yes, that's not a power collar. So I had this glow-in-the-dark turquoise jacket. You could see me coming for miles. And I made a black and white shirt that was paisley print, and I made a reverse black and white paisley tie, and I wore it the next day. And it was worse than wearing red. And he caught me in the lobby of the bank. He didn't happen to know I was talking to a couple board members at the time. And so when he laid into me, the board members turned around and asked him what his problem was. And that was the onset of the war between me and my boss and dress codes and things like that. But I had to step out because there are lines. And it's like, I'm not going to accept being told as a woman I can't wear red or I can't stand out. And hopefully today we don't run into as many of those things. And Leanne was talking about earlier that this week women wear red to signify how far we've come and yet how far we have to go. And I think red is appropriate coming from my background as to what we need to think about. And sometimes wearing red's like waving a red flag in front of a bull. And we have to be willing to do that and be true to ourselves. I always say there's always another job. Mm-hmm. And as women, I think we have to remember to be financially responsible. But we can't put ourselves in a role where we have to compromise for that. And my family and I always talked about having a go-to you-know-where fund, 4377. And we always said that there was a line of ethics or behavior or culture that when we come up to that line, we needed to be able to say, well, one of us is going to that place that's a little bit hot. So it's, I don't want it to be me. So I rely on my financials and look for another job. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really critical. Women need to start that early and often in their career, living well within your means and saving up and be financially strong. So if you do get the voice and you're in the corporate world to start your own business like you have, Leanne or Micah, your family came to a crisis point when your husband wanted to change what he was doing. And Lauren, building your career, we have a lot more options when we're proactive and we take care of our own business and our own baggage. And we learn to embrace our emotions, our sensitivities, and our relationships. So here's a question for you three ladies. How can we, in the age that we're in now, 2013, best support each other's successes and celebrate them? Because I don't think we do that entirely enough as women. Mm-hmm. Lauren?
I agree. I don't think we do that enough. It is sad that there's still a little bit of competition among women where I think we should support one another. And whether it be shout outs on social media and go so-and-so or even just going out for drinks after work and really, I had a good day at work the other day and something went through that I had been working on for quite some time. And so, you know, when I got home, I had a glass of wine with the fiance and it was a little a celebratory time, but I also have some time with my girls on the books that we're going to celebrate as well. And it's really keeping in touch and keeping that support network there, whether it be from a business standpoint and the business networking, I call them friends because that's what they are, or just your personal network as well. And really, you need that financial kind of safe kitty, but you also need that emotional safe kitty so that when you have a good day or a bad day, you're there for one another. And I think that's huge.
Micah?
I don't think that us Southern women know how much influence we have in this world. Mm-hmm. I think Southern women especially could change the world if we were allowed to do so.
We don't have to be allowed. We just have to blaze the trail.
No, that's right. I don't think most women even know how influential we could be if given the opportunity. I thought about this, and I thought, you know, someone said to me one time, what you do speaks louder than anything you could ever say. And if I were to ever have a tattoo, that would be the one, I think, because I have lived my life that way. And I think when it's time to support, it's time to support. There should be no question, reasoning, concern. You should just jump right in. And I think as women, we're very good at that. I mean, maybe even over-supporting sometimes to the point to where we can carry someone longer than they need to be carried even. And so someone is always watching you, and you can certainly make the difference. And we're never too busy to support people when they need it. That's the way we need to be thinking. And show your strength by helping someone any way that you can.
Leanne.
Yeah, I think support is the key word. And then there's other words that go with the word support in my head. The very first thing that came to my mind was support for the success, but there's also support for the failure. So when I have a colleague, somebody I know, they don't have to be close to me. If I see a success, I want to help them voice that success. Mm-hmm. It's easier for some people. It's not as easy for others. But once you voice that you have been successful at something, your confidence is growing. I do that with myself. I have to say, I was pretty good on Lee's talk show today. I have to tell myself that, because then I won't do this again. But for my failure, it's so key that I get support for that as well. Encourage me to try again. And I make sure I surround myself with the right people, men and women, to encourage me to try it again. If it's something I really want to do and I didn't do it well the first time, I want to hear, how can I do it better? I'm going to be thinking that myself. But I also want that support. I think I've been pretty successful surrounding myself with the right people.
Well, I'm going to share one thing. It's like, I think as women, we have to give ourselves permission to be successful and not expect perfection of ourselves, and to stop that voice in our head when we do mess up saying, oh, you always mess up, or, you know, the negative talk. We have to also be more focused on the future. We can't change what we've said or done in the past. We can apologize if it's necessary. But we learn from it, and then we look ahead rather than always spending time and energy looking back saying, I wish I had done X, or I wish I had done Y, or if I had made this decision or not done this. And so looking forward is what we want to do. And hopefully in the rest of 2013 and 2014, what we can look forward to is much more success as women in business, as professionals. And as we grow as people, we know how to celebrate each other's success and don't fall into the trap of envy or jealousy or trying to put obstacles in one another's paths. So I want to thank you ladies for being here today to talk about National Business Women's Week and share our experiences. And we're going to ease out of the show today by listening to I'm a Woman from Pam Tillis and Lori Morgan.
Pay the price, but look how much I gain. Join Lee Strickland for Focus on Business, Tuesdays at noon here on WCOM.